Well, it's good to have everybody here tonight. We only have a couple more weeks with our voice guys, so this is the last week of class for them, and then they have exams next week, so you can be praying for them as they go into that time of the semester. And so over this week and next week, since they're going to be gone, I wanted to give them a little bit more opportunity to preach and teach whatever they that evening. Tonight, Seth went last week, and he wanted another opportunity to go again, and fantastic job last week. We're going to pray for him, and he's going to bring the word tonight, and it's about love and service, if I remember correctly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for another opportunity to be here in your house and to worship you. And God, we thank you most of all for Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection from the grave, defeating death so that we might live and we might be forgiven, God. We love you, and we just pray for Seth, God. Take any kind of nervousness away that may be with him. Anoint him with your spirit. Give him just a bold testimony tonight.
Just reiterate what Chris said. You can definitely pray for us, boys, guys. Speak for on the finals. A little stressful, but it'll be good. So tonight we're talking about love and service. And so if you have your Bibles tonight, we'll be in Matthew chapter 22. And again, I'm really thankful to be able to get the opportunity to come up here and preach again and just open the Word of God with you guys. So thank you guys for giving me the opportunity, bearing with me. So so what we're going to be looking at is this first text in Matthew 22. And we're going to go with some different texts, but this is where we're going to start. And before we get into our text, we're going to start, our text is really going to be focused around verse 34. And but I'm going to give you a little bit of context to what's happening here. Right now, Jesus is trying to be tripped up by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's trying to be tripped up in the way that he's going to answer wrong. That's what they're trying to get him to do. So, they've asked him, like, the famous, what is this, who does this coin belong to? You know, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God. And then the Pharisees, they realize they can't trip him up. So, then the Sadducees are kind of like, you know what, let us try. So, they try to nail him with a tough question from the law of Moses, and Jesus gives a perfect answer. And then in verse 33, it says, "And when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at his teaching." So you can kind of guess at this point, both parties are kind of like, "Oh man, this guy's good. We can't trip him up." And so then we come down to verse 34, and what's going on here is the Pharisees and the Sadducees are kind of getting together, and so I'm going to start reading at verse 34. "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.'" So what's kind of happening here? It seems like the Pharisees are kind of together and a lawyer steps in. "You know what? I've got a question. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the one that trips him up." And so we ask a question that is the obvious answer. And Jesus does give the obvious answer. And we go on to find out in another passage that Jesus goes on to tell this lawyer the parable of the Good Samaritan, because he asked, "Who is my neighbor?" So, but that's not what we're going to focus on tonight. We're going to focus on the Pharisees missing it. They missed the point. So what the Pharisees were, they were a religious party, kind of somewhat of a political party. They really wanted power, and that's what they were after. They were just, they interpreted the law of Moses, and they studied it, and they kind of forced their way upon the rest of everybody else who they can just consider common people. And so what they did was they interpreted this law, and they became so infatuated on that law that they literally imposed laws that weren't in the law of Moses upon the common people. And so the Pharisees had a very elevated, prideful view, and they they just completely thought themselves more worthy in God's sight than others. Let me read you a text out of Luke 18 that kind of characterizes the heart of the Pharisee. And you might be familiar with this passage. It's when Jesus is actually talking about the prayer of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And Jesus said, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector.'" And so, and then it goes on to talk about how the tax collector prays. But we're just going to focus on the Pharisee. So that was the heart of the Pharisee. And so what we want to get to here is that these guys studied and studied and studied this commandment, all the commandments. But they studied this one especially because this one was the greatest commandment in the law. But you know what they did? They missed the point. They studied it countless amounts of times, but they missed it. They read this verse, and it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And then it goes on and says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." They could have recited that. They could have written it probably in any language. But they didn't apply it. And that's what we, as Christians, we can't miss. We have to apply this to our life. I'm going to read this verse. I'm going to change a few words around. And you tell me what kind of sounds a little different. "You should love the Lord your God with some of your heart, with a little bit of your soul, and with a little bit of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second's like it. You shall love your neighbor as much as you can. On these, the two commandments depend all the law and prophets." That just kind of sounds a little funny. And it should to us. But this is something that we as Christians struggle with. We come across this verse and it says you shall love. That word "shall" is not suggestive. It's a commandment. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." When I was very immature in my faith and young in my faith, I came across this text, and this text absolutely worried the life out of me because I used to think, how in the world am I going to love God with everything I have? I love God a lot, I used to think. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do it with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. And if you're struggling with that tonight, I hope that these words help you because the words of Scripture, they always rebuke us and correct us, but these verses that I'm going to go through tonight have shaped my life more than any others. And so I'm going to ask you to turn with me to 1 John. And the Word of God is going to tell us how we can love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. So we're going to be in 1 John. We're going to start in chapter 3. So 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to start reading at verse 16. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." Then look over at chapter 4 verse 7 with me. "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." So, Christian, we have good news tonight. Love is not defined by us. And that is good news. Praise God for that, that love is not defined by us. But it is defined by God. And God defines love like this. For a child, God sees us in our state. God sees us as a rebellious child. Stiff-necked, a rebellious people, as the Bible says. Unlovable to any human eye. But God says, you know what? I see that son or that daughter, and I love them so much that I'll do anything. I will send my own son to die for them so they can be a part of my family. And that is mega off-the-charts love. And that is how God defines love. And if we're going to love, and if we're going to serve others, that's got to be the foundation. Our love is not based on us. God is love. And the reason we know what God is because God has shown us. And love is manifested by Jesus' death on the cross for us. And so what I want to talk about is that his love is the grease, or his love, you could say, is the oil to our engine of serving others. Without his love and without the personification, without the example of his love for us, we don't know how to properly love others. And here's what I mean by that. The cross, if we look through the vision of the cross and we see what the Savior's love for us was, we get a better picture of how to serve and love others. Because the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate service that anyone has ever done was to die on the cross for us. As Jesus said, the greatest love that you can show is to lay down your life for the brothers. And that's what he did for us. And so As we grow in our faith and we get weary, this world is hard. And it is hard to love people. And it's hard to love people well. But Jesus got weary as well. And you can be encouraged by that. Jesus got very weary on the cross. He was on it for 6 hours. He got very weary before he even reached the cross. And at any moment, angels could have came down and taken him off the cross. But he was very weary, but he remained steadfast in his love. And he loved us, and he kept loving us. And that's an example of what we can do as we get weary and we struggle to love others. We can remember that it's okay. It's okay to become weary in our way of loving others. It's okay to feel tired and to feel depressed. But God hung in there. He literally hung in there as he hung on the cross. And he loved us, and he long-suffered for us. So our love should be long-suffering. So What can we do about our service to someone that doesn't love us back? That's a hard task as well. What are we going to do when we're loving someone, but we don't even get a thank you for it? We're serving them, we don't get any recognition. We can also take Jesus' example for that as well. The Bible tells us, if you'll flip with me real quick to John, Gospel of John. John chapter 1. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1, starting in verse 9, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So this text makes it evident to us that we were the ones, if we were like, we crucified Jesus. We didn't choose him. He chose us, and he chose to love us. And so our love should, for other people and the way we serve others, should be intentional. Not the attitude of you serve me and I'll serve you, but the attitude of I'll serve you regardless whether if you serve me or not. And you don't even have to thank me. I'm going to love you and I'm going to serve you regardless. And that's what Jesus has done for us. And we can boast in that love. That's actually, the Bible says, cross. And so if we have love, which we do because we know God, the Bible tells us, God is love, we can boast in that. We can boast not in our love, but we can boast in how we've been loved. And we can boast in the God that has loved us. And love, evolve. Is there any music fans in here? Tina Turner? Guys, don't be ashamed. I know you like some Tina Turner. Tina Turner sang a song once that is called "What's Love Got to Do with It?" Got to do with it. And she said in that song, love is nothing but a second-hand emotion. Now, remember last week we talked about how we've got what Scripture says about life and we've got what the world says about life. Two interpretations. Tina was thinking, you know what, love is just a, you know, it's just an emotion. If a guy breaks up with me, that's what happens. That's kind of the perspective she was having in that song. But from Scripture, we learn that love is, it is, we're not supposed to love not just in thoughts or word, but we're supposed to love in deed and truth, as 1 John tells us. And the amazing thing tonight would be Jesus loved us in deed and truth, but he didn't have to. He could have just said, I love you guys, I love you so much, but I'm not going to forgive you. Come to the earth and die for you. I love you, and it's true that I do love you, but I'm not going to take any steps to save you. But the great news tonight for all of us is he loved us and he served us in deed and truth. He came and he did it. He didn't try to come and make super amounts of friends. He didn't come and push his own agenda. He's following him. He didn't try to do his own thing. He came on a mission, and his love had a mission. And it was ultimately a death mission. Mission impossible, but for him it was possible. And he redeemed us. And that, and his love had a mission. And so, if I can encourage you guys tonight, I would say this. And if you remember anything, love with a mission. I think, I love the Mission Impossible movies. I'm a Tom Cruise fan, so I love the Mission Impossible movies. And a mission is what we love to have, a mission. We love to be goal-oriented people and work towards those goals. So, if you remember anything tonight from what I said, remember to love with a mission. Make your mission to love others and to serve. And the way that you love is a direct representation of how you have been. Jesus has loved you, and we are called to love in deed and truth, just in word and action. So, and even the times that we have events as far as going to serve at Jeff Street, doing this, serving out in the community, it's a great thing to talk about it and to pray about it. I'll give you an illustration. There's a pastor named Francis Chan, and he told his daughter, he said, clean your room. That's a commandment. Clean your room. And he said, you know, my daughter doesn't come back to me and say, you know what, I prayed about cleaning my room, but I don't know if I'm going to do it. Or we had a small group meeting about it, but I don't know. Or maybe we studied how we can actually clean it, but we didn't clean it. But she followed that command. She did clean it. And that's what the Father asks of us. He tells us to love one another. Shouldn't debate how to do it. Do it. We serve one another out of deeds and serve each other in truth. And I would finish with this final point, that love is a motive checker. Motive checker. We can do many things, but sometimes our motives can kind of be a little mixed up. The Pharisees had some bad motives. They, behind their motives was pride. They were keeping the law of God just so they could be seen by others to see their righteousness. Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. And what he meant by that was on the outside, they looked great and they looked beautiful. Their morality was good. But on the inside, they were full of dead men's. And that was harsh language coming from Jesus. But that's what he called them. And so their motives was messed up. They were working with an attitude of pride to be noticed. So as Christians today, let's try our best by the grace of God to be people that have a motivation of love. That, sure, we might not look spectacular on the outside, shirts nasty and a little raggedy and stuff, but a little sweaty up here, red. But on the inside, we can be people filled with love, and we have the motivation of love to drive, to serve others. And we have the main motivation of love because we have been loved. We have a love. We have the greatest source. You have a greatest well to draw from. And that's the Father's love for you. So So let me encourage you with that tonight. Father's love is deep, vast beyond all measure. And we don't deserve it. We don't. And so may we never take credit for this love that we have. God has bestowed. His love is unmeasurable. And he wants you to know that he does love. He loves you as a son or daughter. In eternity, we will have the supreme privilege in that love. And so, tonight my main objective was to encourage you, because I've been encouraged so much by reading these texts, and I didn't get real deep into the text, really surface level, but it's a tough world that we live in. Life is hard, even for Christians. The suffering, just because we're Christians, doesn't mean the suffering's going to end. Gives us something to live through. If I could do anything, it would just be to encourage you to don't grow weary, but to look at the Father's love for you. Draw upon that and bow the knee. Accept and abide in that love. So, if you will, pray with me. Father, how great your love is for us, that you would send your only Son to die for us. A rebellious, stiff-necked people. You gave your only Son, your love, and your justice. We thank you that we can have hope in you, even in a tough world, fallen world. We can have hope in you, because you are our hope, and you are our peace, you are our rest. So Jesus, we do. We know that your load is light, your burden is easy, and so we come to you and abide in your arms, and we abide in your love you have so graciously given. We pray that you would make us people that are people of humility, people that serve others, to be seen, not to be praised, but serve because you served. You came not to be served, and give your life for us. You gave that life for us. Thank you so much for this church, personally for everyone here. I pray a special blessing upon each of their lives and you. Even as we go into the summer months, give them just a wonderful time of experiencing great growth and